We are continuing this morning in our sermon series, Questions That Jesus Asked. And if you hadn't noticed, we have been kind of working our way through the book of Luke. We're going to skip over a couple of passages today and skip to Luke chapter 11, verses 22 through 34. We will go back, but I felt like this passage was appropriate for us this morning. So we are going to read from Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. Speaking of Jesus, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the moments of life, in the midst of our humanity, you step in. You remind us that although we are human, that we are fragile, that we are weak, that you are not. That you are a mighty and a powerful and a loving God. A God who desires to draw us closer, to embrace us, to uplift us, to cover us with your strength. And so we pray this morning that you would be reminding us of that. That we are weak. That we are fragile. But you are not. That you are our strength. Help us to see that. Help us to trust in that. Help us to reveal that to other people. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. He's speaking to them about being anxious about things like food and clothing. There are many accounts throughout the disciples' times with Jesus where worry creeps in about what they will eat or what they will wear. Upon multiple occasions, Jesus miraculously provides for his disciples, for the crowds, these immediate needs for them. And within those stories, you see this worry and anxiety amongst the disciples, and the need is met. And there's this sense of relief and restored faith. and motivation to continue on until that next time when their stomachs begin to grumble a little bit. And then suddenly they become anxious again. And if we're being honest with ourselves, I think many times we can find a place of identity with the disciples. Times in our life where maybe things are becoming a little bit more challenging and we begin to worry. If I am being 100% and completely honest with you, some of the first things that came over me Wednesday evening when I walked into this church was anxiety. What in the world are we going to do? How in the world are we going to handle this mess? Holy smokes, this is a lot. That as I go through life and, you know, that next bill shows up in the mail, or I think about my children, or one of them becomes sick, or, oh no, the dog got into the trash again, or whatever it might be, anxiety creeps in. And Jesus is responding to this because not only does Jesus understand that it's something that all of us struggle with, but he also knows and understands that it's one of the greatest enemies to his disciples. And it's one of the greatest things that can stand in our way, not only of following after Christ, but of leading others towards him. And so he gives us instruction on how we handle all of these worries, all of these anxieties, all of these things that creep in. And he begins with this idea of food. He says, consider the ravens. They not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. Ravens, within the Jewish culture, would have been considered kind of an unclean animal. You would have never considered eating a raven. You would have had kind of distant contact with them. They would have been a pest, a nuisance, eating farmers' crops. They were kind of annoying. They're loud birds. And Jesus is saying, but even these dirty, annoying pest of a bird, think about how much God provides for them. Everything that they need is provided for them. How much more will he provide for you, who are his chosen people, whom he has made clean, and who bring joy to him? How much more valuable to God are we than these birds? Because although the birds or things of this earth are created by God and they enjoy him as their creator, they do not enjoy him in the full sense of as their heavenly Father as we do. God cares for all of his creation. He maintains, he watches over it, he cares for it. We hold a special place in it. We alone are the adopted sons and daughters of God. And so as these things that God cares for, yes, he's passionate about all of his creation, but they're not his special. And he's saying, you are special. How much more will I care for you? Not only that, but as his children, we call him Father because we're created in his image. That he has created us to look like him, to reflect who he is to the rest of the world. So God is good. He is healthy. He is fully alive. He is mighty. He is powerful. All of these things that we think about God, as they are reflected in us, God, we are provided with the things that help us to reflect that to the world, the things that we need. And so he's saying why, Jesus is telling his disciples, why would you worry about food? Worry is almost insulting to God. For us to doubt in this power that he has promised for us. And he continues, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Really, in truth, worry shortens life and desolates what is left. It robs us. It steals from us. Worriers are full of fear. Worriers suffer. Worriers wither and twist and die. Worry takes a terrible toll. And we can see it. We can see it in our lives. We can see it in the lives of others. Worry. Worry is not a moral virtue of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Worry is not something to be proud of. Really, it's a destroyer of life. And this is not to say that that we do not need to work or that we sit idly by. Of course we do those things. We're called to work. We're called to seek provision. Not worrying about food doesn't mean that you stop eating. It simply means, where are you placing your priorities and your trust? Is it the food that sustains you, or is it God? What is your greater need? Jesus continues by talking about clothing or these material possessions. He says to consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And this is not just a story. Jesus is very much considering or asking his disciples to consider the beauty of the flowers. One of the a cool thing that Salisa and I had the opportunity to do when we were living in Olympia, Washington, is we just decided to drive north. And if you drive far enough north in Washington State, you'll suddenly come over these rolling hills, and stretched out before you are these fields of tulips and daffodils. And it is just this magnificent and beautiful sight. Maybe you've seen fields of wildflowers. And this is what Jesus is saying, is that if he clothes these, if he provides these things with the material possessions that they need, how much more so, again, will he clothe you? The flowers and the grass, the trees, they're all temporary. All of them will pass away. And really, you know, in a sense, our earthly lives will pass away. But this clothing that Jesus is referring to here, this is eternal. This will last longer. You will, if you are in Christ, live forever. You will have eternal life. How much more, though, then will Christ clothe you? And that how much more, that is an important statement there. It's not just that he will provide you, but he will provide you how much more than these plants and animals. You have a special place, a special priority in God's eyes. So as we get into verses 29 through 32, we see these instructions on what not to do, the don't, and then the do. And again, Jesus, he reiterates, the don't is don't worry. And he says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Worry is useless. It does us very little good. Especially since we know and we believe that God knows exactly what we need. And this is something that Salise and I talk about with our children, and probably you've talked about with your children, or your parents have talked with you, or the learning that difference between want and need. What do we want and what do we need? And God is not saying that he will provide us with everything that we want. He's saying that he will provide us with everything that we need in abundance and more. And it's an interesting thing, because sometimes even what our definition of what we think is need is not. So we have this assurance in here, or how God, he's talking about feeding and clothing his people. But is that really what we need? Do we need food and clothing? Or do we need Jesus Christ? Because if you are to remove all of these things of the world, if you were to remove food and clothing and all of these material possessions, you were to strip it away, and even if you were to perish in this world, you are still left with that one most important and crucial of needs, and that is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that leads us into the do. The do not was not to worry. That's what pagans do. The do is, instead of worrying, seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. Because this provision that we read about here in Luke and the parallel account in Matthew is not about the luxuries in life. It's about the essentials. The essentials that God knows that we need. That we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything that we need in order to move forward in that pursuit of the kingdom and seeking after Jesus will be provided for us. And so if Jesus is calling you to a ministry here, whether that is the ministry of being part of a family, whether that is the ministry of clothing people, whether that is the ministry of being friendly to a neighbor, whether that is the ministry of whatever vocation that you find yourself in, God will provide you with the needs or the things that you need to fulfill them. And so Jesus concludes this passage with this response. So, because you are not to worry, because you are to seek after the kingdom, because everything that you need will be provided for you, Jesus concludes with this teaching about what you are to do with the resources that you have been given. And the first is to divest, or to give, to be generous. Here Jesus, he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. And this passage is sometimes taken out of context, or sometimes misinterpreted. Some would say that it's this call for all Christians to give of everything that they have. For some Christians, yes, it does mean that. For some Christians, it means to sell everything that you have and give to the poor. But the call here for all Christians is this, is to loosen your grip. Loosen your grip. If your grip is held so tightly on those material possessions, your wealth, your resources, your time, that it is preventing you from doing the things that God is calling you to do, then that is wrong. What you are invited to do is to begin to loosen that grip on those things, in order that you might share what you have been blessed with, in order that others may too benefit from the riches that God has given to you. At times, that means that you have to sacrifice. At times, it may mean that it looks like you're doing without. But we're trusting. We're believing. We're acknowledging that all that we have, all that we have been blessed with, has been a gift from God in the first place. And that if we're seeking after the kingdom, that all of those needs will be continued to be met. So we are invited to divest or to give, but then we are also invited to invest. And so financial people will tell you that it is important to invest, that it is important to have savings to care for your future. That is a wise and intelligent thing. For us to be thinking forward, but to do so in a way that is honoring to God, to not do so in a spirit of fear, but as in a spirit of wisdom that we are called to prepare. Jesus, he refers to, he says, in money bags that don't wear out. In other words, that you've kept your money, you know, stashed away, stored away for so long that it begins to wear a hole because you've just held so tightly in it. So rather, with that money, where is somewhere else that you can place it where the investment has a greater growth? And we see throughout Scripture, throughout Jesus' teaching, where does he encourage us to invest our money and our resources? He doesn't encourage us to invest our money and resources in our bank accounts. He encourages us to invest it in a kingdom that is eternal, that has the possibility of having your money in a bank account and using it towards things that are glorifying to God, that we can increase our money through wise investment and be able to use it to bless the world around us. But all of the money that we can store up, all of the possessions, we all know that we can't take it with us. But the things that we can take with us are how we have stewarded that money leading towards eternity. So where is your treasure? Where are the things that you hold dear to you? You know, on Wednesday when I came into the church and I shared with you that I had anxiety about it, and we began moving into, well, what is our plans? Are we going to be able to have church in this building? And almost immediately, one of the responses, well, we can have church anywhere. You know, we can meet in a park, and it's this overwhelming sense that we love this building, that we love this house that we get to enjoy, but it's not what defines us. It's not what defines us as a church or a family. But since we have been blessed with this space, how do we use it? How do we use it? And I think that we do things on a regular basis where we try to share our space, where we invite people in, where we try to have our doors open, where we encourage the community to be part of it. But it's something that I'm going to encourage us, thinking forward, in our personal lives and in this life, in this building, that we have been greatly blessed with. How do we use it? How do we use it to bless our neighbors, the people around us? That maybe we need to find ways of loosening our grip a little bit, inviting people to share in what we have more and more. Friends, we are human. We live in a world that is often scary. A world that is full of sin, a world that is full of broken and hurting people. Many of those people are us. Many of us arrived this morning with places of pain and hurt inside of us. I would venture to guess that within the last week, almost everyone in this room has suffered from some form of anxiety or worry. It's part of our experience as humans. But Jesus Christ is inviting us that even in these moments of these worries and anxieties, and he says, lay it aside. That is not designed to be your God. Do not let it have power over your life. Come to me. Draw closer to me. I am the only one who holds your eternity in the palm of my hand, and I hold you tightly, and I love you, and I desire to bless you and provide you with everything that you need. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God the Father. Worry less. Love more. Trust in Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Every day, we find new things to worry about. But I thank you that every day, you are greater. Greater than any worries that might creep in. Greater than any anxiety that we might have. Greater than any illness or financial hardship or calamity. Greater than it all. Help us, Father, to place our trust in you. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.